God is our strength. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Thank you, Sister Belva, for sharing that testimony. Somebody needed to hear that today, that God will provide. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne of grace. We thank you for this time to break the bread of life, to feed sheep, to encourage believers, to have the word convict souls. That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are continuing in our series on truth. We are talking about truth this month, and we talked about walking in your truth and living in your truth, and we talked about Jesus being the truth. Amen. And today I want us to talk about the truth of God's faithfulness. The truth of God's faithfulness. 2 Timothy 2:11-13 has been read in your hearing already. And before we get to 2 Timothy, we need to talk about this thing called faith and this word called faithful. God is a faithful God. Or better yet, we can say that God is faithful. The concept of faith is defined by the scriptures and is seen in the scriptures. We can find in the Bible acts of faithfulness displayed by God to his people. Take Abraham, for example. He is called the father of faith. He is credited for being the father of faith of many faiths that live out today. For Abraham was the father of Isaac and is considered the father of Judaism. The Jewish leaders in the New Testament spoke of him to Jesus saying, Abraham is our father. But he is also considered the father of the faith of Islam because he was the father of Ishmael. Ishmael was born to Abraham and Hagar, his Egyptian servant. And God told Abraham that he would make him into a leader of a nation as well. And then Abraham is the father of the Christian faith, for he is the father of the son of the promise, Isaac. He's the father of Isaac, and Isaac is the father of Jacob, the son of the promise that was promised to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. The Bible says Abraham was as good as dead, and God was faithful. He's the father of faith. And all of this is true about faith, but what is the truth about faith, and why do we need to know the truth? Well, I'm glad you asked. The truth about faith is that God himself in Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In Hebrews 12:2, it says that, and it says, we know that God requires us to have faith in order to please him. For it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The truth about faith is that it is defined as a belief or believing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Take a look at the words the scripture uses to relate to us what faith is. Just take a moment. For this mystery of the faith that we have in God and in his son Jesus is truly a mystery. This faith is the stuff or the substance or the ingredients, if you will, the components or the parts that make up the whole. They are the air in the tire, this thing, this evidence, this substance. It's like air in a tire that allows you to travel on a little while longer. It's like gas in your tank that gets you from point A to point B. It's like the energy and power you and I need to make it through this life. It's the substance, the substance or the components, the ingredients that make up this thing hoped for. Sometimes I think we read and understand the scripture in error because I believe that sometimes we think that faith is the things hoped for, but the word of God says it's the substance of things hoped for. So it's the things that help you get to the hope. It's the things that help you go on a little while longer. It's the result of the substance and not the other way around. See, faith comes because you believe God. And you believe God because you have faith. The faith that we must have to please God in this life and in the life thereafter must be made of some substance. And that substance is the stuff of God. The belief that he is who he says he is. The belief that he can do what he says he can do. We must have this substance, substance of things hoped for to do the work of God that he has called us and gifted us to do. Can you hear me some more? The things that help us to make it from day to day. Jesus tells his disciples, thank you, in Matthew 17, 20 and B, he says this, truly I tell you, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. And if you've seen a mustard seed, it can fit into the tips of your fingers, really your fingernail. You can pick it up. And Jesus says that's how much faith you need. All you need is that much faith to move a mountain. Now think about the mountains in your life and then picture a mustard seed sized faith. If I could just have the faith the size of a mustard seed, this mountain that's been blocking me can be moved over there. This mountain that has been stopping me can be moved into the sea. Jesus said, all you need is just that much faith and nothing will be impossible for you. So this is the substance. Faith is believing that God can do what he said he can do. Believing that God is who he says he is. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. Do you believe that? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that? He says, I'm the beginning and the end. He says, I am. Do you believe that? God is who he says he is, and that is the substance of our faith. Believing that God is an act of faith. Many people today argue and wonder if God exists. Well, the substance of our faith is that we believe that God is and he does exist. We believe that God is and we believe that he exists. Now, it also says it's the evidence of things not seen. And we know from watching shows like old school Perry Mason back in the day, later day Law and Order and The Good Wife, we know that in a court of law, that the way you can prove your case is to provide evidence. is proof that something has happened, is going to happen, or is happening. Evidence usually supports the person who is having to try to confirm or deny an issue. Take, for example, real simple, a child whose mother comes in and says, "Did you get a cookie out of that cookie jar?" And the child's mouth says these words, "No, ma'am, I did not get a cookie." But the evidence is all around. There are chocolate marks on your face, and there are crumbs on your shirt and crumbs in your hand. See, that's the evidence that you actually did, child, get a cookie out of the cookie jar. The evidence is proof that you have had a cookie. I wonder today, is there any evidence that God is who he says he is? Is there anything in your life that shows that God is a way maker? Is there anything on your hands that shows that God will provide, like a chick that you didn't know was there? Is there anything that proves, is there any evidence that God is who he says he is? See, the scripture says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when you think about that, that is perplexing, because how do I have evidence of something that's not seen? How is there proof of what is not seen? How is there any way to show the world what is not seen? Well, let's look at the wind. We know that if the leaf is on a tree and it falls down and nobody climbed up to get it down, that the wind must have blown. We didn't see the wind. All we saw was the leaf fall. That's the evidence of things not seen. The faith of God, the faith that he gives to the believer, the faith that is the size of a mustard seed that will help you and I move mountains, actually is proof of evidence of things to come. Well, God chose Abram to become Abraham, to be the prophet of Israel, and to lead them to the promised land. He called Abram out from among his people and told him to go into a land he would show him. And then he told him to look up at the stars and try to count them, because that's how much offspring he would have. And then he told him that he would make his name great and he would make him great. He told Abraham that he would lead his people to a land of promise, but he also told them that they would suffer for many years. Don't you know that suffering does not stop our faith? He says that I'm going to keep this promise to you. As a matter of fact, he says to Abram, I am your very great reward. And all of the things that God said to Abraham, those things became the evidence of what Abram could not see. It was the evidence of his faith. The scripture says that Abram believed God, and he found God to be trustworthy. Somebody say trustworthy. He found out that God would do everything that he said he would do. He walked into a land of promise. People started giving Abraham cattle and sheep and clothes and money and gifts and riches and cattle and sheep and clothes and money and riches and gifts, and he became a man that everybody respected in the land, and all because Abraham had faith. His faith was the evidence of things hoped for. So the truth about the faithfulness of God is this: he is faithful. We see in our scripture today, Paul giving counsel to his son in the ministry, Timothy, and he's trying to pastor these people while Paul is in prison. He's trying to give Timothy some words of encouragement to help him to know that you need, Timothy, to keep the faith. You need to hold on to the faith as you try to lead the people. He tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to entrust to reliable people the things that you have seen and heard me do, and to join him in suffering. Now, we need to talk about suffering because it's a part of our faith. Now, why would suffering be part of our faith? Because God wants us to know that even when we suffer, our faith should not waver. Even when we suffer, he's still God Almighty. He told Abraham that your people will get to this promised land, but they would have to suffer. He told Jesus that you will save the world from their sin, but you are going to have to suffer. He told Paul to take this ministry to the Gentiles, but Paul had to suffer. So why do you and I think that just because we believe in God, we are not going to suffer? If Jesus suffered, you and I shall also suffer. But God still honors our faith. He honors our faith. So we can't get downhearted. He says to Timothy, don't get downhearted, but remember this, that Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead, descended from David, and that's the gospel that I preach and for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal, but God's word is not chained. In other words, Timothy, understand this, that even if you have to suffer like I do, even if you end up in prison because of your belief, know that the God that we worship is the same God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's been said this way, God raised Jesus from the dead, and you can't have a problem bigger than a dead Jesus. This God of faith is able to do exactly what he said he would do. He says, Timothy, therefore, I am enduring everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying to Timothy, I am in chains because of the gospel. I am in prison because of preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. But I'm enduring my suffering for the elect. I'm going through it so that people can know that faith does not waver in the face of suffering. Faith should not waver in the face of suffering. He tells him to use the grace that God has given him so he can make it through. And then in verse 11, he uses this poem or this song that it was said that it was sung in the synagogues of the people. And he tells Timothy, no matter your suffering, here's a trustworthy saying. Now, when we talk about a trustworthy saying is a cliche or a word of advice or a word of admonition that people can count on. So when we were growing up, if your parents told you that honesty is the best policy, that's a trustworthy saying. When your parents told you that please and thank you can get you in the door, oh, that's a trustworthy saying. When your parents taught you that, you know, you ought to do good unto others as you would have them do unto you, has anybody done good to somebody and seen somebody do good to you? Well, that's a trustworthy saying. It's something that you can count on. And so Paul says this to Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Paul was in chains and he didn't know if his time was coming. He did know that one day he would have to die. But he said to Timothy, if we die with him, guess what? We'll live with him. So those of us who die in the Lord, guess what? We will live with him. He said if we endure with him, we will also reign with him. That thing endure means to stay in it. That thing endure means to not throw in the towel. Ooh, that thing endure means to hang on a little while longer and don't give up because the way gets hard. That thing endure says, if you keep the faith, you'll reign with him. But he also says, Timothy, listen to this. It's a trustworthy saying. If we disown him, he will also disown us. And the scholars argue about that. But Jesus said it this way, if you are ashamed to own me before men, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father. So don't disown him. He says, if we are faithless,
away. Sometimes when we're going through, and it's been a long time, because you've been praying about that thing since 2015, and it's now 2019, and it looks like no change is going to come. Sometimes it begins to weigh on us. But he says, Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Understand that even when we get so low, God does not change his promise. Come on, Abraham. Abraham told the king that Sarah was his sister, not his wife. God still didn't change his promise. Abraham did it twice. God still didn't change his promise. All kinds of things happened in the lineage of Jesus with David and Bathsheba and the old crazy children that David had. But God still didn't change his promise. Exactly what God said he would do, he did do. Think about what God has told you. Know that if it didn't come in 19, it doesn't mean that it's not coming, because God remains faithful. He remains faithful. And the reason why Paul assures Timothy that God remains faithful is because he cannot disown himself. He cannot stop being who he is. Now, for some of us, that's a hard concept to understand. Because some of us, we try to stop being who he is, who we are. We try that. But God can't stop being who he is. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. I am love, and so I'm going to keep on loving. I am grace, so I'm going to keep on giving grace. I am kind, so I'm going to keep on being kind. I am merciful, so I'm going to keep on being merciful. I am the forgiver of sins, so I'm going to keep on forgiving sins. I am the way maker, so I'm going to keep on making a way. I am the bridge builder, so I'm going to keep on building bridge. I am your very great reward, so I'm going to keep on blessing you. God has to be who he says he is, because he cannot disown himself. He told Abraham this: I promised you all this, Abraham, but because I couldn't find anybody to swear by, I swear by myself. I told myself that I'm going to do what I just said I'm going to do. My goodness, if we could just do that. I told myself that I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. When God said that I will not destroy the world by water again, he said, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. When he said, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool, know that I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do. When he said, I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, he's going to do exactly what he said he could do. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. What he said, he's going to do. Why? Because everything that the Lord says is yea and amen. God cannot disown himself. Even though we try to disown who we are, we try to change our names, we try to change our look, we try to change everything about us, but when you strip it all down, you are still who you are. And God cannot change who he is. So if he said he'd be with you always, always look for it. If he said I'd be a light unto your path, look for the light. If he said I will be your bridge over troubled water, get crossing across that bridge. Because God is exactly going to do what he said he's going to do. So here's the truth about God's faithfulness. He is faithful to himself. And he is faithful to his word. And he is faithful to his people. So we know that he is no shorter than his word. We know that he will do everything that he said he would do. We know that God cannot disown himself. We know that God cannot go back on his word. We know that God will be everything that we need him to be. We know that God is a bridge over troubled water. We know that God is a way maker. We know that God is Alpha and Omega. We know that God is everything he said he would be. So I'm going to walk out in faith. I'm going to keep the faith, because I can trust God's word. Why? trustworthy God. God is faith. God is trust. God is everything that we need. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a bridge over troubled water. Thank you for soothing our sin-sick soul. Thank you for helping us in our time of need. Thank you for rocking us when we got low. Thank you for keeping us when we didn't have money. Thank you for feeding us when we were hungry. Thank you for helping us when our friends walked out. Thank you for being faithful. 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 Thank you, Lord, because you are faithful, God. Hallelujah. 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 Faithful, faithful, faithful. Yes, faithful God. Is our God. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen. 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 Why don't we give our faithful God a hand of praise? Why don't we bless the name of the Lord because he's faithful? Somebody today needs to know that if God said it, it will come to pass. Hold your head up. Keep on walking in the name of Jesus. Don't look back and just know that God will provide. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. So you may not know this God, but he's available today. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, he is willing and able to save. This is a time where we call connect, where you can connect with the Christ. All you have to do, no matter whether you're in this room, no matter whether you are in the car, no matter whether you're at home, all you have to say is, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin, and I accept you as my Savior. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You're saved. You don't even have to join the church. We'd like for you to come worship with us, but listen, you're saved because the Bible says so. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand of praise this week. Concluding services on today. Amen. 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 We are so glad that we have an opportunity to meet here each and every week, and we hope that you all will find your way to come to Calvary and worship with us. But we are meeting each week here at 11:15. We'd love to be your church. I'd love to be your pastor. We just want to worship, as Brother Williams said earlier, study, pray together, and go and serve. So that's what we're looking forward to do. Amen.